The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 22. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on December 11th, 2017, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atta te Bhagavat Lila Yogamaya Uru Brimhita Vishva Stiti Udbhava Anta Arta Vanayami Anupurvasha Antate Bhagavalila Yoga Maya Rubrimhita Vishvastit Yubavantarta Vanayam Yanapurvasha Atate Bhagavalila Yoga Maya Rubrimhita Vishvastit Yubavan Tarta Marayam Yanupurvisha Atta. Therefore, Te unto you, Bhagavat, pertaining to the personality of Godhead, Leela, pastimes, Yogamaya, energy of the Lord, Uru, greatly, Brimhita, extended by, Vishva, of the cosmic world, Stiti, maintenance, Udbhava, creation, Anta, dissolution, Artha, purpose, Vanayami, I shall describe Anupurvasha systematically. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I shall there describe to you the pastimes by which the personality of Godhead extends His transcendental potency for the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic world as they occur one after another. Purport. The omnipotent Lord, by His different energies, can perform anything and everything He likes. The creation of the cosmic world is done by His Yogamaya energy. So here we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam that not only are Krishna's activities with the gopis and the gopas, the cows and the calves and the peacocks, His leelas, but also His creation, maintenance, the dissolution of the cosmic world is also a leela of Krishna. So, that means we're also living in the pastimes of Krishna. This material world is also His creation, maintenance, and dissolution of this material world is also His leela. So we're actually, we're also in the leela of Krishna right now. But you have your choice which leela you want to be in. You want to be in the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the material world, or you want to be in His pastimes of the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls. We can choose which leela. Of course, we don't watch television, but somebody is watching TV, you know, they can flip the channel. I don't like this program, they flip the channel. So we can flip the channel, you see. If you don't like being in this lila, creation, maintenance, and dissolution, you can be in the other lila. So this process of Krishna consciousness, you can have to flip the switch from this lila to that lila. It's actually a very simple thing. But we're so mental, we make it difficult. Our mind has so many concoctions in the way. We have to somehow rise beyond these mental concoctions. The minds make it very difficult. You understand this point? The mind gets in the way. Mind's like one of those monkeys in Vrindavan that steals your sunglasses or your bananas. Rascal mind always gets in the way. So we have to master that mind. We have to bring that mind under control. As I've been explaining earlier here, Bajahu re manashi nanda nandana. My dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. Actually, those pastimes in the spiritual world are much more attractive than the pastimes here. So we should not be so foolish to remain entangled in these pastimes. It's like, you know, eating stool instead of halava. The pig may think that stool is very nice. Ah, very good stool. But a gentleman, he knows, what is this disgusting thing, stool? How someone could enjoy eating stool? Let me have some halava. So we have to give up this stool-eating mentality. You see? And come to the halava-eating mentality. So how do we make that transition? Well, you have to get the higher taste, belly. You see. The hoggy thinks the stool is very, very nice. He goes running for the stool. Ah, fresh stool. Ah. So we're still like that. Still like hogs. Our minds are going after material sense gratification. So how to conquer that rascal mind? We have to get that higher taste for Krishna consciousness. So how do you get the higher taste? That is given by Prabhupada. If you follow this system of chanting at least 16 rounds every day of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, giving up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, then you can actually experience a taste. Also avoiding the offenses, that's important. If you chant and commit offenses, you'll never become pure. But if you chant while trying to give up the offenses, then you'll make very nice progress. So that's why it's important to avoid the 10 offenses. Offensive chanting can go on for millions of lifetimes. You can chant offensively for millions of lifetimes and not go back to Krishna. But if we can chant offenselessly, we'll go back in this lifetime. So we have to become very expert at avoiding these offenses. First offense is to blaspheme the devotees. We have to learn how to be respectful to the devotees. We have to learn how to love the devotees. That's very important then. Sometimes we hear the argument, no, don't love the devotees, but that's bogus argument. Prabhupada says, if you love me, love my dog. He quoted that famous saying. So the devotee is God's dog. You love God, you have to love the dog of God also. It's like you have some next door neighbor, you see, and you want to have a good relationship with your neighbor, but you hate his dog. He won't like you. Oh, I hate your dog. Get out of here, you rascal dog. He won't like you if you hate the dog. If you think, oh, your dog is very nice. Pat the dog on the head. Oh, you're a very nice dog. And he will like you. Oh, he likes my dog. So, we have to have very good relations with devotees. We have to learn how to love and respect all the devotees. We may sometimes have difference of opinion, but still, they are devotees after all. So we have to love and respect them, even if we sometimes have difference of opinion. So Krishna is very happy when he sees we love his devotees, because he loves his devotees. And if we don't love his devotees, then we're not on Krishna's good side. You don't love my devotees? Is it? Because Krishna has unlimited love for his devotees, he's very happy when he sees that we also love the devotees. So by cultivating loving relationships with the devotees, and this is the wonderful facility of ISKCON. Prabhupada explains one of the items of surrender is to become a part of a spiritual family. What does that family mean? That means loving relationships. That's what it means to be a part of a spiritual family. If you don't have loving relationships, you're not really part of the family. You're an outsider. So by developing loving relationships within our society, the more we develop them, that is one of the items of surrender to Krishna. So, that developing the loving relationships with the devotees, it gives a very nice taste. Very nice taste. That helps us to advance in Krishna consciousness. We're trying to develop a relationship with Krishna's name. Krishna's name is also a person. Krishna, or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is Krishna himself. Prabhupada says, Nama Prabhu. The name of Krishna is Krishna himself. It's an incarnation of Krishna. It's not some impersonal sound vibration. The name Krishna is Krishna himself. So it's a person, it's relating with a person when you chant Hare Krishna. It's not relating with an imperson, you're relating with a person. So learning how to relate with persons is very important. Because Krishna is a person. So that's why we're fortunate. There are so many persons within ISKCON. And we can learn how to develop nice relationships with these persons that will help us to develop our relationship with the Supreme Person, Krishna. To take full advantage of this opportunity given to you by Srila Prabhupada and the great Vaishnava Acharyas, that now you can develop a loving, personal relationship with Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonalists are in a very difficult position because they deny the personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though they may be very renounced, like Mayavadi sannyasis can be very renounced, because they have not developed that loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, patanti yadho, they fall down again into material existence. Our actual nature is we want loving relationships. That is our nature. Man is a social animal. It's like the birds fly together. We see, especially in Austin, there's places in town where in the evening all the birds get together. After flying around looking for food all day long. Around sunset time, they all gather in one place. Thousands of birds will come together. On trees, on telephone wires, there's just thousands of birds will come. Because that's their nature. They're social creatures. So we are also social creatures. We see it's like they have these big football stadiums. Thousands of people will get together and enjoy watching a game together. We have that nature to socialize. These human beings are not loners. We like to socialize by our very nature. So we have to socialize in Krishna consciousness. You see. We have to learn how to have love, develop loving relationships in Krishna consciousness. By doing that, that's how our love of Krishna will become awakened. But if we don't have good relationships with devotees, we're very critical, fault-finding, negative attitude about devotees, then it will be difficult for us to have those loving relationships. And then we will not be able to awaken our loving relationship with Krishna. So if we take full advantage of the facility given here by Srila Prabhupada to dive deeply into loving relationship with Vaishnavas, then we'll have that awakening of pure love of God within the heart. Krishna consciousness is not something artificial imposed upon us. Just like the match has fire within it, you see, the fire is already there within the match. And the fire comes out. You strike it, the fire comes out. So you already have pure love of God within your heart. You just have to find, for the match, you have to have the proper striking surface. If you try to strike on a wet place, the fire will not come. You see. If you strike on the proper place, the fire comes out. So that proper place is the association of Vaishnavas. By associating with Vaishnavas, then the natural feelings of love of God will gradually become manifest. There's no Vaishnava Sangha, there's no awakening love of God. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu, Sabhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai. Sarasanga lavamata sarva siddhi hoi. The association of devotees is so powerful that even if for 1/11th of a second it can bestow all perfection on the living being. Sarva siddhi hoi. So let us take advantage of that wonderful gift, Vaishnava Sangha. Never be disrespectful or hateful towards Vaishnavas. Always respectful and loving towards the devotee. This will enable us to actually flip the channel from this lila to that lila. The mundane lila of Krishna, of course, it's all transcendental from his perspective. But for us, we take shelter of this material nature, it's mundane for us. So if we can get out of this mundane nature by developing that loving relationship with Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas, then our lives become free of anxiety. Right now there's so many anxieties. We're in a world full of anxiety. This is Kunta Dham. There's Vaikunta Dham and Kunta Dham. This is the world of anxiety. So many anxieties. There's adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik. Anxieties of the mind and the body. Anxieties caused by other living beings and anxieties caused by the demigods or by natural disturbances like hurricanes, tornadoes, etc. Prabhupada explains we're always being bombed, we're always being whipped by at least one of these three miseries at every minute. At every minute. There's no relief. We're being pounded constantly by these miseries. But if one can understand that I have nothing to do with this material world. This is not my home. Somehow that I got sidetracked. I'm stuck over here somewhere. Let me get back to my real position. Therefore, we should not be very excited about this material world. Let me enjoy it very nicely. No, we only get out of here. That's our idea. That's our goal. We want to get out of the cycle of birth and death. We want to get out of misidentification with gross matter. We want to be fully absorbed in the identification with my spiritual being, Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityada. I'm actually an eternal spiritual being, you see. I'm not a person of this world, but an aging body. I'm an eternal spiritual being. I'm an eternal youth, one of the associates of the Lord in the spiritual sky. What am I doing identifying with a 70-year-old body here, you see? Doesn't make any sense. It's foolishness. To misidentify with your material body is gross foolishness. Do not do that. Do not misidentify with your material body. It's like taking a knife and cutting your throat to misidentify with your material body. Kick out false identification with matter. Embrace your actual identity as an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna Bhagavan. That is the intelligent thing to do with your life. That's the intelligent thing to do. So human life is meant for intelligence. It's not meant for sleeping. Wake up. Not meant for sleeping. Wake up to your eternal spiritual identity. Come out of the madness of illusion. Come out of the miserable, horrible nightmare of bodily consciousness. Come back to your eternal spiritual identity. That is intelligence. Anything else is foolishness. Don't be foolish. Is it? Why would one want to be foolish and suffer? Does it make any sense to be foolish and suffer? No, it doesn't make any sense at all. One can come out of foolishness by hearing from that person who is not foolish. We hear from Prabhupada. You see, we are all fools. Let's say we're all fools here. That's why we took birth here. You see. But Prabhupada is not a fool. He's a liberated soul who was sent by Krishna here to deliver us. So if we hear the teachings of Prabhupada, from Prabhupada himself and his books, and from those who are purely living and practicing and presenting his teachings, if we hear Prabhupada's teachings, this will bring us out of our foolishness and bring us actually to transcendental wisdom. That's why we have these classes. It's not just some ritual. This is a scientific process of delivering ourselves from illusion. By associating with Bhagavad Gita, the topics of Bhagavatam, one regains his original spiritual nature in due course of time. So if there's any questions now, I can try to answer them. How do we relate to a person who criticizes devotees, senior devotees within ISKCON? That's called, there's two kinds of criticism. There's constructive criticism and destructive criticism. Constructive criticism means you're actually trying to help, pointing out things in a mood of service, in a loving mood of service. That's not bad. That's called education. Someone points out to me I'm making a mistake, they're educating me, and so I'm grateful for them. But this is referring to persons who are envious, who just fall, instead of becoming humble and finding out their own faults, they want to point out the faults of others to puff themselves up. So a person who is in that mood, they're called a Kanishta Adhikari, they're an envious devotee, not really very much of a devotee. So those persons, we don't mix with them intimately. Pure love, pigs love eating stool, but where is the punishment if it likes eating wastes? Well, it's an abominable, you can say, well, how is he being punished? It's an abominable position to be a stool eater. That is a punishment for someone who has no discrimination in eating, who eats meat, doesn't care anything about rules and regulations. They can eat anything and everything. They can eat oysters, lobsters, and they'll eat anything. So they become a pig in their next life. That's a karmic reaction. How to love devotees when there is so much disagreement and at times even animosity among certain devotees? Well, you have to elevate your consciousness beyond all these conflicts. You have to philosophically go beyond all the disagreements and conflicts that are often there amongst devotees. What I like to do is think about, well, when I'm leaving the body or a devotee's leaving the body, then all these conflicts don't really matter anymore. Mm-hmm. We're all devotees. We all want to get out of here and go back to Godhead. We keep that kind of a vision, then these disagreements, they're not really that important. The most important thing is we remember Krishna and we go back to Krishna. So instead of being totally carried away with offensive mentality when there's a disagreement, one has to see that this is not that important. The most important thing is we remember Krishna and we always try to please Krishna. I wouldn't give these disagreements that much importance. Of course, we have to work it in such a way that we can go beyond disagreements. That's a very important thing. But real bottom line is this. Conflicts amongst devotees that go on and on and on, it means those devotees are not rectifying their own faults within their heart. If there's conflicts, unresolvable conflicts, that means those devotees are maintaining their own false pride. They're not trying to root out their own anarthas in the heart, you see. Kanishta Adhikari is a materialistic devotee, but we are meant to become at least Majjhima Adhikari devotees. By sincerely desiring to become free of the faults, the dirt within the heart, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, we are meant to engage in clearing off these offenses. So any devotees who are sincerely trying to clear off their offenses, they will not have animosity towards each other, you see. The devotee has animosity, it means he's holding on to his anarthas, he's not trying to clear off his anarthas. How far does a super soul guide one to move on the right track or path? When your heart is clean, the super soul gives unlimited guidance. Actually, the super soul is already giving unlimited guidance because our hearts are dirty. We cannot hear the super soul guiding us. But the super soul gives unlimited guidance. We simply have to become qualified to hear that guidance. How can we relate the potency of creation, maintenance, and dissolution by Lord Krishna to the same functions entrusted to Lord Brahma, Vishnu, and Ganesh, or Mahesh? Krishna is the energy behind. They are assisting Krishna in the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the universe. Krishna is the actual doer behind the scene. They are simply instruments in the hands of Krishna. Everything is acting under the direction of Krishna throughout all of existence. Nothing is acting independently of Krishna. So when Rama, Vishnu, and Shiva engage in their activities, it's all being done within the energy of Krishna. Anything else? So looking back here at the verse in purport again, I shall therefore describe to you the pastimes of which the personality of Godhead extends his transcendental potency for the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic world as they occur one after another. So Krishna's potency is there in every step. Nothing can happen without the potency of Krishna. Ramaji cannot create unless Krishna's potency is there. See, nobody can act independently from Krishna. Whatever you do, it's because Krishna is empowering you. Just like if you, in a few minutes, we'll be getting up and we'll be walking out the door. We're empowered by Krishna to do them. It's not that you have independent powers the Yama Krishna is giving you. Everything is going on under the energy of Krishna. There's nothing that happens outside of the energy of Krishna. So there's no more questions. We can stop here, and we thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.